The text before us is taken from the first letter of St. Peter, the fifth chapter, beginning with the eighth verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Last summer, I had the privilege of going to a zoo down in Omaha and getting to go to a large exhibit of cats. I can't imagine what it was like just this last week for a family to be standing and looking at a large cat exhibit at the Denver Zoo and to suddenly witness the mauling of one of the workers that came in to feed the cat. A large jaguar, 140-pound jaguar, attacked a young woman, I believe in only an 18-year-old zookeeper that was there to take care of the animal, and got a hold of that young lady and mauled her to death, chewing the top of her head apart, and people there witnessed that. I just can't imagine parents having little children with them watching such an awful, awful event. And what a horrific way for somebody to die. God uses the imagery of a lion attacking someone to depict the work of our great spiritual enemy, the devil, when it comes to our faith. Now, God could have easily selected many other animals from the animal kingdom to depict things about the dangers of the devil for us, but it is interesting that he picks the lion, who is often referred to as the king of the animal world. Your adversary, the devil, he says, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let's learn some lessons today from lions themselves and how they attack, because God has specifically selected this type of a creature for us to learn from when it comes to our own spiritual lives and how the devil may seek to attack us. First of all, a lion is very patient. A lion just doesn't come rushing into a herd and grab one of the animals right away, but a lion is very patient. He's willing to sit back, sometimes for hours. It's been documented that at times lions will wait as long as 6 or 7 hours studying one herd just to find the right time to go and attack. The devil has plenty of time in our lives. He likes the fact that we're young. He likes the fact that he can be patient and wait to find the perfect time in our lives to finally attack us. Lions like to sit at the edge of the herd, far enough away that the herd is aware of the lion and yet not yet quite feeling a need to run. Close enough for the lion to study the herd and yet not so close that the herd is feeling afraid of him yet. A lion is a very intelligent creature, considered to be in the cat family the most intelligent of all the great cats. He's very analytical. A lion has an extremely analytical mind when it comes to seeking and finding his prey. He studies his prey. He spots the weaknesses in his prey. He likes to look at the herd and figure out which one of these, he doesn't look at a group, but which one of these can I possibly zero in on, who is big enough to provide me a meal, at the same time weak enough or foolish enough to think that he can be close enough to me and yet I can get him. He looks for one that is not a little, you might say, a little infant or small one of the herd, but he looks for one who is large enough to give him a feast and yet who's still young enough to underestimate his speed and his danger. So his approach is very studied. Another thing that a lion will often do when coming upon a herd is to sit off just far enough so that the herd gets used to his presence. The animals sense that he's there, and they see him. Sometimes he'll hide, too, but a lot of times a lion, if you ever see that on documentaries, will actually walk very prominently so that he can be seen. And what's interesting is those who have studied how lions approach herds have discovered this, that the lion will sometimes sit down close enough to be seen by the herd and yet far enough away for them to know that their speed can get away from him. And yet, when the cameras are watching closely to the lion, about every minute or so, he moves at a quarter inch closer to the herd so that he slowly is getting within his range to catch them, but they have grown comfortable with his presence. Now, what does that teach me and you about our sinful nature? We know where the devil is. We know exactly what he's trying to do out there in the world. We can see the evil that's present in the world and so on. But how do we start to feel a little more comfortable in our lives with him being near us? How do we begin to underestimate how much time we may have to be able to finally get away from him? And know this about lions, that lions are not there to wound the herd. They are there to kill. He's there to go in for the kill. That is exactly why he's looking at this great herd. And we must keep this in mind when it comes to the devil as well. His final goal is not just to wound us. It's not just to make us suffer and hurt. It's not just to cause us to fall into a sin. Who cares? Really, when you think about it from the big picture, who cares if we just fall into sin? So what? It's over and it's done with. That's not what he cares about. What he cares about is the kill. What he wants is for you and me not just to get wounded, but to grow comfortable with our sin. He wants us to get to the point where sin and evil doesn't bother us anymore. Where we no longer care, where our consciences are no longer sensitive to the moral standards of God's holy word. And in doing that, we tend to listen less and less to the voice of Christ. What our Lord and Savior wants for us and keeping us safe tends to matter less and less. And so he inches ever closer, hoping to go for the big kill. How do I resist him? The text before us says, resist him, standing firm in the faith. The Greek words that are given to us in this text are very interesting. The Lord says to us, be sober and be vigilant. The word for sober means to have the ability to know what's going on around you. A word that's sometimes used to describe sobriety, the way the Bible uses it, is to be circumspect. And you can see in that word to look around and to be aware of what's going around you. So don't fall into the trap, God is saying, of assuming that everything is fine when the devil is so near. Another word that he uses here in the Greek for vigilant means to be awake. It means to be on the alert. Don't get kind of pacified into thinking that none of this really matters. And if and when he comes and attacks and causes us to fall, the verses right before this tell us, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God. In repentance, go back before his altar and seek his grace and mercy and his wonderful forgiveness that is so pure and so real and so full for every one of us who fall to the devil's attacks. It's interesting that this last Sunday, yesterday, first Sunday in Lent, focuses in the gospel reading on the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. As soon as he is baptized and begins his public ministry, boom, he's taken off into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And it's interesting to observe how Christ himself, where he runs during that temptation. Think of all the things that Christ could have had at his disposal. He could have brought down from heaven just a huge legion of angels to protect him. He could have created a cave or a bunker that would be so safe that nothing could penetrate it. He could have called on anything in his arsenal of omnipotence to destroy the devil and his works. And yet, what does he do? He runs to the castle of God's word. He goes to his own word. Now think of that, how strong the word of God is for us now in this life today. How strong the word of God is. That even the Son of God himself, in all of his power and might and majesty, runs to it for protection. And you and I are invited by God to come inside of that same castle. In the Middle Ages, castles were designed and built as a way that anybody out working in the fields, when an attack came, could run and get inside to be shielded from its safety. It's an amazing study to go through the architecture of castles and how through the years, different designs were created to thwart the most recent advancements in weaponry and so on. And so it is with the great castle of God's holy word. No matter what the assault, no matter what the new attack is on us as his faithful believers, there is always protection inside of the sacred word of God. Run there, stay there with Christ, because the gates of hell itself cannot prevail against it. Amen. Please join me now in one of the collects for yesterday that you will find on page 152, collect number 41, the epistle collect, and we pray together in unison. Lord God, Heavenly Father, inasmuch as the adversary does continually afflict us, and as a roaring lion walks about seeking to devour us, we beseech you for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us by the grace of the Holy Spirit and to strengthen our hearts by your word, that our enemy may not prevail over us, but that we may evermore abide in your grace and be preserved unto everlasting life. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.